are so glad you have found your way to this worshiping community. You can learn more about how we are church together by taking a look in your bulletin. You'll see opportunities for worship, fellowship, mission, and learning. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder standing at the communion table following worship to receive any questions that you might have. We have just a few announcements this morning as we begin. First, the children following the Thoughts with Children will be going to the adult lounge as they prepare for Children's Sunday. That'll be coming up in June. But then they're going to be going to their Sunday school classes. So parents, what you need to pay attention to is pick up your kids in their Sunday school class, unless you have the kids that dart out and run for the cookies, then you know where to find them. So anyway, that will be taking place over the next few Sundays as our kids get ready. One other announcement, Sally.
Good morning. I come to you this morning with my mission hat on. On the last page of your bulletin this morning, there is an announcement about the annual SWEM stroll, Southwest Ecumenical Ministries. SWEM provides services, food, very particularly to Southwest neighborhoods. It's been doing it a long time. The walk is on, let me see here, the 21st of May. It's coming up pretty quick. And I put information on the rack by the door in the foyer. Second announcement from your mission team. Your mission team is very excited. We have made arrangements to partner with FoodLink to be a distribution site for their mobile food pantry. Now, this I'm going to read because they said it all better than I can ad lib it. Like a market on wheels, FoodLink's mobile pantry delivers food directly to communities in need. The goal is to provide food for up to 200 households at every distribution. A minimum of 5,000 pounds of food from FoodLink's warehouse is loaded onto their 26-foot truck and delivered to the distribution site, which in this case is our church parking lot. FoodLink staff and volunteers from the sponsoring organization, which is Gates Presbyterian Church, unload, set up, and distribute the food directly to the clients in an outdoor setting to hand out food. The mission goal of the mobile pantry is to bridge the gap between hunger and abundance by quickly moving fresh perishables and other frozen grocery products to high-need populations. So, as you can well imagine, the success of this is totally, totally dependent on a highly engaged host site, us, and an enthusiastic volunteer basis. Guess what? I have an opportunity for you. This is where you come in. We need 15 to 20 volunteers the day of the distribution. We have two dates on the calendar at this point, Saturday, June 17th, the actual distribution from 9 to 11, and Friday evening, August 4th. We're not sure of those times exactly yet, but it'll be like 4:30 to 6:30. So I have put a sign-up sheet and out on the kiosk. I'll be out there this morning after church to chat if anybody has questions. And I put a packet of information for volunteers on the rack in the foyer. Mission has taken over that rack this morning. If you can't be there the whole time, it's a four-hour, roughly, commitment from setup to all cleaned up. Shorter shifts can be accommodated. There's jobs for standing up, sitting down, lifting, traffic. There's a variety of things that will need to be done. And we're just really excited to make this happen in our community here. Thank you.
Thank you, Sally. A great way for us to be serving our neighbors here in Gates. And now, friends, let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship God.
Please stand for the call to worship. Come, people of God, take refuge in the Lord, who rescues us when we call. You are our God, and our lives are in your hands. Let's worship God together.
Assured of God's grace and glory in our lives, we bring all of who we are to God and to one another. Please join with me in the Litany Prayer of Confession. Ever gracious God, from generation to generation, you call forth faithful women and men to be willing to be servants of truth. You fill us with strength and hope. Yet we find it is often not enough. We pray both for great faith and for easy lives. But we know these things seldom exist together. We pray only to avoid the time of trial, when we need also to pray for strength and confidence to face the challenges that come with faithfulness. Forgive us, God, for our limited vision and our feeble trust. Make us strong like the first disciples, so that we may rejoice in your unending grace. In Christ we pray. To show you, but I have been warned that I can't show you any of the embarrassing pictures. So, does anyone know what this is? Anyone know? What is it? A baby book. This is Lily's baby book. And baby books, some of you all might have one of these. And what they do is they help us remember some parts of our story that we may not remember. Do you remember being born? No, I sometimes don't really remember my own children being born. But there are pictures that show us that it happened. This is the day that Lily was born. In the baby books, it gives all sorts of, and this is Lily's, and it's because she's the first, and so it's completely filled out.
It doesn't happen so much with the rest of them. So it tells the story about when they were born and about their parents. And it also shares some of the memories of what it was like when they were first here. So I told some stories about food I liked and about walks we took and the people who came to visit her in the hospital and also the house that we first lived in and what her room looked like. All right, I'll stop there. No one, none of the embarrassing books. But in the Bible, we actually have a book that tells us all about the very beginning of the church, kind of like when the church was a baby. And it's called the Book of Acts. That book helps us remember what it was like to be the early church. And you know something? They didn't have it all figured out. Kind of like being a parent and a kid. We learn as we go along, and we have a chance to be able to read those stories and learn all about how Jesus and then those first disciples began to be the church together. So I know that you all are getting ready to celebrate being the church together as the children, so I don't want to keep you any longer for that. But can we pray first? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for the stories that help us remember that you love us always. Amen. All right, so you guys know where you're going, right? Over to the adult lounge by where you guys were practicing. You probably want to hang up your robes too, so have fun.
First reading of the Word, Psalm 31, chapters 1 through 5 and 15 through 16. In you, O Lord, I seek refuge. Do not let me ever put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. You are indeed my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Take me out of the net that is hidden for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and prosecutors. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love.
Thank you.
Our second scripture reading today comes from the book of Acts. Now, during those days, when the disciples were increasing in number, the Hellenists complained against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. And the 12 called together the whole community of disciples and said, "It's not right that we should neglect the word of God in order to wait on tables. Therefore, friends, select from among yourselves 7 men of good standing, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint to this task, while we, for our part, will devote ourselves to prayer and to serving the word." What they said pleased the whole community, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith, and the Holy Spirit together with Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Hymenaeus, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch. They had these men stand before the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. The word of God continued to spread. The number of the disciples increased greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. About 2 weeks ago, folks started asking me, "So are you packed and ready to go yet?" And you all know that I'm a planner, so endless lists and post-it note reminders and calendars abounded. There's no point in me even pretending. I just throw things together at the last minute, hoping it'll all work out. God bless all you folks who God created that way. I'm just not one of them. So, inevitably, that question brought up just little bits of anxiety because, I mean, even today, there are piles of clothes and, of course, charging cords kind of in the corner there. But I am far from ready to go. But I will say that packing for just myself for 2.5 weeks in Israel, Palestine, is a lot less stressful than what I'm used to when it comes to getting my kids ready. Because, you know, when they were babies, I was totally that mom. The one with the overpacked diaper bag, dozens of diapers more than needed for an afternoon out. And not just one, but maybe like 3 extra outfits, just in case of an accident, and one for me too, because you never really know. I had the baggies of goldfish that ended up in these pulverized crumbs at the bottom, you know. That's what happens when you have wipes and Band-Aids and everything else piled on top of them. And when they got too old for a diaper bag, I just bought really big purses. Because, I mean, how else are you going to carry instant macaroni and cheese around with you? Because you just never know. There wasn't a problem that I couldn't solve with what was in my bag. Yes, you saw, they're getting older now, changing fast. And while I still keep a bag of trail mix in the car, they are responsible for their own lunches, backpacks every day. So, you know, they have to pack for their own problems now. All right, so maybe that's a little harsher than it really is. Because inevitably, one of them comes home and says, "Mom, I have a complaint. First job to figure out whether it is a whine or, Mom, this is a real problem, and I want to work through it. Because with all complaints, there is a difference. The struggle is named, And when they come to me with it, it might just seem like such a small little detail. But for these kids, it's this huge bag of worries, something she carried home with this heavy heart. And sometimes she's worried that I might be angry or that her feelings might cause more conflict. Worried that naming the problem out loud might make it seem like it's something she can't handle and I would be disappointed. I watch their little faces, fearful of telling me something they were afraid that I wouldn't want to hear. And I realize that it's not just about them needing this mom who can rush in to assess what is needed and has everything ready in a bag just to fix those problems, or even a list that carefully organizes the best way forward. They need someone in their life who practices that gentle art of sitting, listening, paying attention, and saying, you know, I don't know, but I love you. And honoring their struggles with that silence, and later with open questions. In reading our text for this morning, I can hear the struggles of that early church, trying to figure out who they're trying to be, how it is that they are going to address the problems that they're facing. I know quite often we hear or read through the book of Acts and just assume, well, it's a straightforward historical account, the earliest days of the church, right? It's like a baby book that's got all the details written down with the smiling, happy faces, but doesn't really account for all of those late nights and tears of both mom, dad, and baby. We assume that this early church has got it all figured out because they were the ones who were closest to Jesus. So this must be the church in its most pure form. Oh, goodness. Nothing could be further from the truth. The book of Acts is all about the church trying to figure out what it means to be the church in basic ways. Acts describes the struggles of the early church in Jerusalem following Jesus' resurrection, ascension, and the sending of his Spirit at Pentecost. In fact, these early followers aren't yet called Christians. They are Jews. They observed Jewish dietary restrictions and rituals, and they followed Jesus. They gathered at temple, and they also gathered together in each other's homes for meals. We don't know if they understood these meals to be the Lord's Supper, but we do know that these meals were a sign of the believers' unity and care for one another. The meals were simple, and they also provided their poorest members with food that they may not have otherwise had. So these early gatherings of believers around tables in each other's homes, they came for the food, of course, but they also shared the stories of Jesus' teachings. We even had some singing. But what truly sets the early church apart is their commitment to put flesh on what it is to preach about God's love in Jesus Christ by performing acts of compassion and practicing forbearance with one another. Some scholars and theologians believe that the distinctive practice of sharing goods and self that was told over and over again in the book of Acts makes this considerable impression on the Jerusalem public. And it's partly responsible for the community's vigorous growth.
They believe that the growing church necessitates deep relationships. People who are willing to be vulnerable and to recognize that not all of life's problems have easy solutions or could even be avoided altogether with just-in-case planning. That's how we know that the complaint being raised is more than just a parking lot whining session between church members. There's this shared commitment to trusting one another, to give voice to the problem and work through it together. It's a group of widows who are being neglected in the communal meals. What we don't know is whether or not the women are among the poor and the vulnerable, or possibly there's a movement towards women gaining leadership in this new community of faith. There's also these questions stirring around about the racial and ethnic disparity between the Hellenist and Hebrew Jewish communities that come together to raise this complaint. The Hellenists were most likely immigrants and a minority in this new community of believers. And confronting any of these kinds of concerns takes courage. There are feelings of anger by those feeling excluded and worry that addressing the problem might lead to further conflict. We can read through these verses and rush right to the response of that early church, that one that we think has it all together, ready to respond and fix it with what end up being the first deacons. But just in case you didn't notice, maybe we don't do that by appointing 7 men to argue about what they're good at before serving the community. But remember, the book of Acts is about the church trying to figure it out. It takes a few thousand years, but here we are. And even a deeper reading, we come to the realization that no matter how put together and prepared we think we are for being leaders, parents, or the church, really just being human beings in general, there needs to be space for being fully present with one another in the midst of life's struggles. We need to make that time for sitting and listening and paying attention to one another. It's in that space we learn that being the church means we aren't afraid of saying, we don't know, but we love you. How we learn to care and love for one another, to give attention to those who are vulnerable or voices who are not being included at the table. And like that early church, we aren't going to do it perfectly or be prepared for every situation. But we do trust that God's Spirit is guiding us in this life together. May it be so now and always. community gathered, sharing our joys and our concerns. If you have a joy or concern you'd like to raise, please put your hand up. Usher will be by with a microphone. Let us know who you are and speak directly into the microphone so we can hear you. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Penny Ritz. My aunt, I was very, very close to. She and my mother were best friends. They were such close friends that she introduced her big brother to my mom, and they became my wonderful parents. When my mom passed, my aunt became my mom, and we were very close. Last week, at the age of 93, on Thursday, she passed. She had a wonderful life, but she's going to be really missed. So if you could just remember her. Thank you.
Penny, we give thanks for the life of your aunt.
Barb's name. I'd like to ask for prayers for Kay and John Harder, who are down in Shawnee, Oklahoma. John's mother passed on Tuesday, and I think this weekend would have been her birthday. So prayers for the family. Thank you.
So prayers for Kay and John Harder in the death of John's mom.
Wakeman, Larry and I have a joy that our son Rob is with us today.
Woohoo! Yay! Welcome back, Rob. Good to see you. Go ahead.
Welcome. You might recall that Paulette asked for prayers for her brother Peter 4 weeks ago. He was diagnosed with stage 3 lung cancer. He's been diagnosed now with stage 4 lung cancer and they've stopped treatment. She's at home with her family right now.
Prayers for Peter and Paul for the whole family.
Ercola, asking for prayers for my wife Susan's parents who are dealing with health issues.
Prayers for Susan's parents and everyone making decisions for them as they go along.
Prayers of joy for all the college graduates this month, and especially in my life for my eldest daughter, Kristen, graduating yesterday from Brockport, degree in sociology.
Prayers of joy, Kristen, for you and for all the graduates this month and next. Got one over here. No one's behind me.
Jan Brewer. A couple weeks ago, I asked for prayers for my sister and my sister-in-law. My sister-in-law, thank you for her prayer. She's on the road recovering. My sister was put in the hospice this week and basically have maybe a week left to live. So prayers for her and family.
And prayers for your sister, also for you and the entire family.
Phone.
Oh, no.
There are a lot of sad things today, but my buddy Phyllis Titus, 90 plus, is doing really good. Her scare is where she will go for therapy. So let's pray it's close by. And your prayers have really, really made a difference. But you know that. Thank you.
Continued prayers for Phyllis and Frona. Not having a microphone has never stopped you before. So. And we also lift in prayer our organist, John, whose sister Rita was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. So prayers for John and sister Rita and the whole family.
Hey, Mrs. Wilkin.
Welcome back, Mary.
Well, I was going to stand up last week and say that I was very happy to be back among you all. I would be lying because of all the rain. So I decided not to do that. So I'm doing it today. But I have another joy. I have so many members of my family here today.
Wonderful. Good to see you all. All right. And I'm not seeing any. Oh, do I got one more? John?
Last but not least, Jim Poole. Just prayers of gratitude for all the mothers in the house.
Thank you. Amen. And prayers with our children this morning. Prayers of joy for moms and family who came to hear the junior choir. Prayers of concern for a neighbor with cancer, a friend whose mom died, a friend who is sick, and a friend who is missing and far away from family. We pray with our children. Let us continue our time of prayer. God, you are the God of all the moments of our lives, our celebrations, mornings, and today we come to you with both. We pray for those who are like Tamar, are struggling with infertility or a miscarriage. God, we pray for those who, like Rachel, are counting the women among your family and friends who year by year and month by month get pregnant while you wait. God, we pray for those like Naomi, who know the bitter sting of a child's death. We pray for those among us like Joseph and Benjamin, whose mother has died. We pray for relationships with mothers marked by trauma, abuse, or just couldn't be the parent the way we needed them to be. God, we pray for those who, like Moses' mother, put a child up for adoption. We pray for those who, like Pharaoh's daughter, are called to love children who are not theirs by birth. And we pray for those who are watching or have watched their mothers age and disappear into the long goodbye of dementia. God, we pray for those who, like Mary, pregnant for the first time and waiting breathlessly for the miracle of a child. God, we hold in prayer those whose children have turned away from them, who are left holding broken hearts, or like Hagar, are mothering alone. And God, we hold in prayer all the mothers today for whom their greatest joy and their toughest struggle all rolled into one morning. And God, we pray for those mothers who are watching their children struggle with mental illness or addiction. And we pray for those women before you who do not want to be a mother, who are not married or in so many ways struggle to fit in the societal norms. God, we pray for all those who found themselves reflected in these prayers or none of them at all. For on this Mother's Day, wherever you are and whoever you are, we are here with you together. You are loved and seen and worthy because, God, we belong to you. And may we all know the deep love without end of our big and wild, beautiful God, who is the very best example of a parent that we know. And we raise all these prayers and those in the depths of our heart in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Let us continue our time of worship with the morning offering.
Thank you.
this morning, O God, author of out of our bounty of our hearts, we respond with faithful generosity and love. May these gifts become blessings for others as they have been blessings for us.
Alleluia. Amen.